Our first reading this morning is going to come from the book of Revelation. We're going to be reading from chapter 21, beginning there from verse 10. Then we're going to skip down, read 21 and through 22:5. It is found on page 1086 of your Pew Bibles. So at this time, let us listen to God's word for us. And in the Spirit, he carried me away to a great high mountain and showed me the holy city, Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God. And I saw no temple in the city, for its temple is the Lord God, the Almighty, and the Lamb. And the city has no need of sun or moon to shine upon it, for the glory of God is its light, and its lamp is the Lamb. By its light shall the nations walk, and the kings of the earth shall bring their glory into it. And its gates shall never be shut by day, and there shall be no night there. They shall bring into it the glory and the honor of the nations. But nothing unclean shall enter it, nor anyone who practices abomination or falsehood, but only those who are written in the Lamb's book of life. Then he showed me the river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb, through the middle of the street of the city. Also on either side of the river, the tree of life with its 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit each month. And the leaves of the trees were for the healing of the nations. There shall no more be anything accursed, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall worship him. They shall see his face, and his name shall be on their foreheads, and night shall be no more. And they need no light of lamp or sun, for the Lord God will be their light, and they shall reign forever and ever. Our gospel reading will come from the Gospel of John, chapter 5. We'll be reading from verse 1 through 9, chapter 5 in John's Gospel. It's found on page 926. Again, let us listen to God's word for us. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is in Jerusalem by the sheep gate a pool, in Hebrew called Bethesda, which has five porticos. And these lay a multitude of invalids, blind, lame, paralyzed. One man was there who had been ill for 38 years. When Jesus saw him and knew that he had been lying there a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be healed?" And the sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is troubled. And while I am going, another steps down before me." And Jesus said to him, "Rise, take up your pallet and walk." And at once the man was healed, and he took up his pallet and walked. The word of the Lord. I've always been a bit intrigued by the final vision in the book of Revelation that we read here this morning. The vision of the new Jerusalem coming down out of heaven. When I was a kid, I used to believe that the description of the new Jerusalem was an actual blueprint, a city plan of what the city would actually be like and look like when it came down, a description of actual walls and streets and buildings and trees. But the description that is given is not so much an actual blueprint of the city as it is a description of the characteristics that will prevail when God finally has God's way, when God's future is finally realized. There will be genuine peace and security. There will be order and community. And there will be, in that wonderful city that I find most intriguing, healing, the healing of the nations. The nations of the world are characterized by idolatry and violence and injustice. But in the New Jerusalem, there will be healing, the healing of the nations. That's what the tree of life in the new city symbolizes. That's what the leaves of the tree of life symbolizes. In the ancient world, people found medicines and cures from grinding up the leaves of trees. But now we are told that the leaves of the city of life in the New Jerusalem will be for the healing of the nations. It's a beautiful vision. A vision of God's coming future, a vision of the way things will be again when God finally has God's way with the world. I thought about that on this weekend because this weekend is Memorial Day weekend. This is the time when our nation remembers all of those who have fallen in the service of our country. I remember 35 years ago when I was a young second lieutenant driving down from Aberdeen Proving Grounds in Maryland to go to Washington, D.C. so that I could capture a glimpse of the wall. That's what it was called at that time. It's the Vietnam Memorial, and it was recently completed, and it was called the wall because if you've ever seen it, it is a long black granite wall that has the names of all of the men and women who died in that conflict inscribed upon it. 58,000 names in all. But I remember going to see that wall, and even though my dad spent two tours in Vietnam, I never knew anyone who actually died in Vietnam. But as a young lieutenant at the time, I wanted to be a part of that experience, and so I went there to capture a glimpse. And what an experience it was, an emotionally stirring experience it was. For me, it was almost kind of like a religious experience. There was someone there beating a drum. There was also a bugler who was playing the bugle, and there were veterans coming from all around. I call them pilgrims, but they were coming from all around to pay homage to their fallen comrades. As I said, 58,000, over 58,000 people who died in that war. And yet, despite all of the sacrifices that were made, despite all of the dying and the killing, our nation is still in need of healing. There seems to be nothing in our wars and our sacrifices that would redound to the healing of our nation or of the nations of the world. Every new war seems simply to set the conditions for the next war. And indeed, since Vietnam, we have added more young lives to those who have given everything for our nation. Almost 6,000 lives in our last war in Iraq. And yet none of it seems to lead to any healing. Healing for ourselves or healing for the world. Memorial Day is always, I think, a good time for us to ask ourselves the question, what is it that we really want? Do we want to be healed? Do we want the healing of our families, the healing of our communities? Do we want the healing of our country, as broken as it is? Do we want the healing of our world? What is it that we really want? Do we want to be healed? That's the question that Jesus asked the sick man by the pool of Bethesda in our gospel reading this morning. Jesus asked him, do you want to be healed? The man had been spending most of his days down by the pool. For 38 years, he goes to the pool hoping to be healed. For 38 years, he takes his place among the lame and the paralyzed and the broken, hoping for an angel to come to stir up the waters so that he might be healed. But now Jesus comes to him near the pool and asks him, do you want to be healed? What is it that you really want? Do you want to be healed? On the one hand, it seems like such a crazy question for Jesus to ask not only the man, but a crazy question for Jesus to ask us. Of course, we want to be healed. We want nothing more but the healing of our world, nothing more but the healing of our communities, nothing more but the healing of our nation. Every time we contemplate the brokenness around us, isn't that what we want? Healing. Healing for our children. Healing for ourselves, healing for the world that is broken in so many places. Certainly Jesus knows that. But I suspect that Jesus also knows how easy it is for us to resign ourselves to the world as it is. He knows how easy it is for us to lean into our excuses, for us to become settled in our old routines and our old habits, for us to live out of our helplessness and our powerlessness. It's interesting that when Jesus asked the man by the pool if he wants to be healed, the man doesn't say, yes, Jesus, of course, that's what I desire more than anything else. If you could just heal me, please. But instead, the man immediately starts making excuses for himself. I'm alone, I can't move, no one will help me, everyone beats me to the pool. Every time I get there, someone else gets there before I do. I can't get there, I'm helpless, I'm powerless. I can't even begin to move towards healing. But Jesus doesn't ask him about any of that. Jesus simply asks him if he wants to be healed. And it's the same thing that he asks us too. Do you want to be healed? Do you want a better world? Do you want to begin to live in a whole new way, a way that brings wholeness, a way that brings to you the kind of life that God desires for all of us and for the whole world. Do you want to be healed? It's important to realize, of course, that none of us can bring healing on our own. Someone had mentioned that this morning in our Sunday school class, that none of us can bring our own selves healing. We can't bring on our own healing to our communities. We can't bring healing to our nation. I wish we could, but we can't do it on our own. We can't bring healing to our world. Healing, true healing, can only come from God. It is sad, of course, when we kind of look at our world to notice how futile our efforts are at times. It's kind of sad to see those places in the world that are being torn apart by our passions. Kind of sad to see all of those places in our world that are broken, and to remind ourselves that we can't fix it on our own as much as we would like. But the good news is that Jesus has come near to us. Jesus, the Savior. Jesus, the healer. Jesus, who is God with us. Jesus has come close to us, and he brings us the gift of healing. And he tells us, what is it that you really want? Do you really want this? Do you really want to be healed? Do you really want the healing that I have come to bring you? We're reminded that healing begins with Jesus, but it's also about us. It's also about us claiming responsibility. Responsibility in the sense that we are called to respond to the gift of grace, the gift of healing that Jesus came to bring us. That's what the man by the pool essentially does. Jesus says, do you want to be healed? And then Jesus tells him to stand up. Get off your pallet and stand up and walk. And that's what the man does. He stands up and he walks. He responds to the offer of healing by standing up and walking, by claiming for himself a whole new identity. No longer an identity of one who is paralyzed. No longer an identity of one who can't walk. No longer an identity of helplessness, but an identity of one who can stand up and walk. Walk towards the healing that Jesus offers him. And that's what Jesus is calling for us to do as well. To be responsible. To stand up. To get off our pallets. To stand up and claim our responsibility as people who are called to begin now. To live in to God's future. I think many of us, if we are honest with ourselves, are like that man lying on the pool. We have resigned ourselves to a pallet of hopelessness. We see our only hope as being the equivalent of waiting for an angel sometime in the future to come and stir up the waters. But Jesus tells us to get off of our pallets, to stop lying down by the side of the pool, to stand up and walk now. Get off our pallets and stand up and walk now. Begin to walk towards God's coming future, to claim that future for ourselves, that future that we read about this morning in the book of Revelation. John, in the book of Revelation, gives us a picture of this heavenly city because he wants us to make a choice. What city do you really want, is what he's telling us. What city do you want to live in? What kind of world do you want to live in? What kind of world will claim your heart? Are you content with the world as it is? Are you content with this world of injustice? Are you content with this world of violence? Are you content with the world where we often periodically ask our young people to make sacrifices with their very lives towards wars that bring no healing? Are you content with that kind of world? Do you want to be healed? Or do you want a different kind of world? Do you want a whole new world? A world of God's justice, a world of God's peace, a world where there's enough for everyone, a world where there's no more fear, a world where we can all embrace one another as sisters and brothers, a world where God's presence is all in all. Jesus says, if you want that kind of world, then you're going to have to take a little bit of responsibility. We all are. We're going to have to begin to move into that world even now. Again, we don't do that on our own. We can only begin to do it because God's Spirit is already operating in our midst, empowering us to live as the kind of people who are anticipating God's coming future. We come here this morning because we remember someone else who gave everything that they had. We remember another sacrifice where a person gave his life. But this sacrifice is one that can truly bring healing, because it's the sacrifice of love borne by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And his message to all of us is, what is it that you really want? Do you want to be healed? Do you really want to be healed? If so, then follow me. Take my yoke upon you. Follow me. Follow me. And I will give you what you really, really desire. Healing and peace and love and fellowship and a future that belongs to you, because it is God's future. God's future for the whole world. Do you want to be healed? Is that what we really want? Come, says Jesus, and accept your healing. Come, get off your pallet, stand up, walk, be healed. And that is his message not only for us, but that is his message for the whole world. Come and be healed. Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you for the healing that you have come to offer each and every one of us. In a world where we realize that so many things are out of kilter, in a world of sickness and illness of all kind, not only physical sickness, but social sickness and emotional sickness, psychological sickness and spiritual sickness, your message to us is to come to you, turn to you, so that we might experience the healing that we need deep down inside of our soul, a healing that will not only heal our families and heal our communities, but will heal the whole world. We ask, Lord, through the power of your Holy Spirit, that you help us even now to claim that healing as we journey towards your coming future, the future of the new Jerusalem, the new heaven, and the new earth that you have promised to all of us. And we ask these things in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.